Gonna Watch You Shine. Written by Your Better Voiced Beau. Read by Hello Moon. Summary. Found Family Feelings, the Johnny and Stevie edition. Johnny Rose knows that he's not a man who easily acknowledges his own shortcomings. In some ways, that confidence helped him. When building up Rose Video from nothing, he refused to acknowledge the possibility that he might fail, and so he didn't. And when he did realize that he didn't have the best head for complex business accounting and asked the man he thought was a trusted friend to come on board as his financial advisor, well, look at how that turned out. He can certainly acknowledge now that he and Moira may not have been the ideal parents when their children were growing up. Oh, the kids had everything they could ever ask for. There were night nannies and day nannies to take care of their basic needs, and any toy that money could buy was procured for them as soon as they asked for it. Johnny had ensured that his children never wanted for a single thing, but he'd failed to consider that what they might have wanted most of all was their parents. "This town might just be your saving grace," the lawyer had told them when they lost everything. If nothing else, it's certainly been the saving grace of his family. It's taken them a long time to get to know each other again in this new and unexpected life in Schitt's Creek. He funded all of David's galleries, but never stepped foot inside one. Here, he's been able to see Rose Apothecary grow from the glimmer of an idea in his son's mind to a thriving business. In some ways, the heart of the town. Alexis, who never stayed in one place longer than 5 minutes, will now slide into the booth at Cafe Tropical and regale them all with the minutiae of her day until both David and Moira are wearing matching pained expressions. They really are family now, in actions, not just in words. It pains him to admit now, but the first time he really paid attention to Stevie is when she started sobbing in the middle of the lobby, threatening to sell the motel. Oh, he'd had plenty of conversations with her, requests for amenities that almost never arrived, small talk that was never reciprocated, and of course when she and David were having their little dalliance. But it's only when he's handing over a handkerchief that he really sees her. A woman his kid's age, dealt a much worse hand in life than they ever were, and doing her best to manage it. The offer to work with her on the motel is a semi-spontaneous one, driven partially by selfishness and partially by boredom. But it also feels right, for the first time since they all ended up in this town. Over the next few months, as they slowly work out how to become both motel owners and business partners, he sees a side to Stevie that he suspects she doesn't let many people see. She's still prickly and borderline rude, but it's obvious from up close that far from not caring at all, these days she cares too much, as she invests her time and energy into making the place a vaguely attractive prospect for travelers. Her buried fear that it won't work out slowly claws its way to the surface, and Johnny does his best to reassure her that he won't let that happen. It's not until the photo shoot when she breaks down and reveals her fear that Johnny's going to leave the town and leave her to run the motel on her own that he realizes he hasn't done nearly enough to make her believe him. They put together a formal contract, and he can almost see the tension seeping out of her shoulders as they both sign it. Still, Johnny's always been more of a grand gestures man than a formal contract man, and he has an idea. As his kids have told him repeatedly over the years, he's not the greatest at giving gifts. But he watches Stevie's face as they reveal the new name of the motel, and he thinks that this time, he might have hit it out of the park. It warms his heart to see Stevie and Moira get closer during cabaret. He loves his wife, but he's not blind to her flaws. She can be self-absorbed to a fault, capricious and demanding. And he knows that most people, from the outside, would see Moira's decision to cast Stevie as a selfish one, her need for a star of her show trumping all else. But Johnny knows better. He saw the look on his wife's face as he told her all about Stevie's heartbreak. Moira's heart almost as sore for her as Johnny's own had been as Stevie had crumpled into tears at the hospice. It hadn't even occurred to him to want to stay, to send her off to the bathroom to freshen up and stick around to bask in their glory. All he'd wanted to do is protect her from her own feelings, and he saw the same desire reflected in Moira as she'd picked up the script and a bottle of wine with determination. When the chest pains start, Stevie is the first one to notice. They rush to the hospital, Johnny wondering the whole way just how Roland managed to be brought along on this trip. But not Stevie. Stevie, he knows deep in his heart, belongs there. But it's not until the next night that he really thinks about what that means. The house lights go down while he's still trying to absorb the news that his son is engaged, that David and Patrick are getting married, and his heart is so full of joy that he doesn't really begin to concentrate on the show until halfway through the first number. He watches Patrick move around the stage and he thinks to himself, son-in-law. The phrase is foreign in his mind, but the sort of foreign that's already carving a space out for itself. He thinks maybe Patrick has been carving a space out for it for years without any of them noticing. He knows the show well, so he's able to sit back and enjoy the performances. Alexis and Twyla flitting around as Kit Kat dancers, Patrick's charming and irreverent MC, and he can see Moira's touch in every part of the show. But it's not until Stevie steps forward for maybe this time that his breath catches in his throat with pride, and while David might be the first to leap to his feet when she finishes, Johnny is right behind him with tears in his eyes. That's my girl, he thinks, and it doesn't feel foreign at all. The end.